I am a man who desires to walk after the spirit of truth and the spirit of God. I've been walking with God these years, and I don't want any of my flesh to be any part of whatever I do, except for housing the spirit of God. I want my focus to be on him. When I rise in the morning, I want to think about things that God wants me to do and how my steps will be ordered that day by him, and that I'll follow after the things that he has placed in me to do for that day. I believe that is a call that he gives us all. When we receive salvation, some of us come for different reasons. We come and find Jesus when sometimes on our deathbed, he raises us up, or we're sick and he heals us. Sometimes we're in drugs, or we find ourselves in some kind of addiction. We're attached to some kind of sin, and we find him, and he cleanses and washes us white as snow, cleanses us, gives us a new hope, forgives us of our sin. First of all, amen? His blood washes us clean, and we stand before him holy. We stand before him as sons and daughters, that he has given a new life. And it's not just, and I want to play on words here, it's not just new life for us to live our life on the earth. It is a new life from him, a spiritual life, a spiritual direction, a spiritual foundation that he wants us to live and to set out. You know, Paul has given us many letters in the New Testament talking about this new life, how joyous and victorious it is. I was reading in a devotional last night, and I don't know if you guys heard of Smith Wigglesworth, but I have his devotional, and I was reading, and he was talking about condemnation, how there is now no condemnation, Romans 8. In them who are walking after the Spirit, there is now no condemnation. And I want to infuse upon you about our faith and what Jesus has done for us. I remember long ago I was praying and I was just asking God to forgive me, and I was confessing my sins before him. And I was just over and over just confessing and doing that and asking God to forgive me. And then I heard the Spirit of God into me, and he said, "All right, you've done that now. I've forgiven you. Why do you continue to confess your sins? Don't you believe me that I've forgiven you? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. I'll give us our sins, right? And cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If he's done it, then why do I keep confessing? Why do I keep feeling like I'm sinful and I'm dirty and I'm wrong or whatever?" He said, at some point, we have to get to the place where we believe and trust the word of God for what it says, or else we don't move on to the next step. And this is what the devotional was talking about. That you sense condemnation because you have not yet fulfilled your faith in the word of God to trust God that he has forgiven you. He's the only one that can do it, right? And he says he did it. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not lying to us that he's done this, forgiven us. He has forgiven us. So it's up to us then to go on to the next step. Paul encourages us that over and over again. He wants us to stop looking at the things behind and reaching forward to the things that are forward, up in front of us. Stop. Okay, he's forgiven you. He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Then we should walk no longer in condemnation, but in newness of life, in the life that God gives us, that gives such joy. That's where our praise and our worship comes from, the fact of the revelation that he's forgiven us, that I no longer have to walk in that path of sin any longer. I can be free. Amen? We can be free. And that freedom brings the joy. That freedom brings the life. It brings the excitement. And then, of course, we go on to do other things as we are obedient to him. And he just continually just overwhelms us with all kinds of stuff that he does for us on our behalf. He protects and keeps us, shelters us, feeds us. We have jobs that we work at, and God provides for us. And we have children that are being raised up, and they are experiencing good things, and some of them not so good, but we know that we've covered them, and they are protected because of God, because of his goodness. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to stand up right now and just start hollering and screaming, yes, Jesus, thank you for all you've done and for all your goodness and your mercy that endures forever. But last time I talked with you, I spoke about growing in grace and talked about the different growth levels of that we see through in the Bible, in the Word of God. But tonight, we're going to be here till the night. I think that was a prophecy come from God. This morning, I want to share some things about change, because when you grow, you change. Amen? Growing changes us. You know, when we go from one level of growth to another, even in our physical life, we change. Things change. Things look different. And so I want to caution you, and I want to encourage you all at the same time. I guess I want to caution you, I want to encourage you about this, and then yet caution you about not being in the place where you consider change to be a negative, but a positive. We're getting older. There's a lot of us who have, Doug alluded to it earlier this morning. We're growing, age is upon us. We can't stop it. Some of us wish we can. How many wish we could stop time and stop the age and go back to being 20 and 25 and some younger maybe? But we can't. We can't stop time. We are going to age. But when we look into the Word of God, something happened to us when we all got saved. And I want to encourage you, and I hope that you receive something from the word that the Spirit of God is sharing with us this morning. When you get saved, your whole path of life changes. You don't really know at that moment. Well, some of us do, but as you grow in God, you realize that this life that you have is going to continue on through eternity. You're going to lay your body down, physical body, and God's going to appoint you another body that's going to take you and your spirit up into heaven with him. That's not anything to be afraid of. That's something to be rejoicing of. But it's how we get there. You know, how we get to that revelation that, wait a minute, I'm living on. Age shouldn't have anything to do with what I'm doing right now. And I know that we suffer under ailments and pains and things that go on in our natural bodies, all of which God can overcome. And we're not to allow ourselves to get caught up in that, because we are still supposed to be doing our one purpose. What's our one purpose? It's to glorify God. It's to be obedient to him. It's to follow after his ways, to always be seeking after him. What do you mean by that? So, because some of you think that, if I'm doing that right now, I'm in church, I'm seeking God, this is what I'm doing. And so therefore, if I'm not in church, I'm not seeking God. And that's not true. God is with you always. And your spirit man is crying out to him always, all the time. He is in the presence of God. Bible tells us that we've been raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places, right? So we're sitting there. But we've got to realize that these two things are happening simultaneously. I spoke last time about us praying without ceasing, praying in the spirit. And you say, well, how do I do that? And yet, I have a job and I have to communicate with people. I have to talk on the phone and I have to temple boss this and have to have meetings. But your spirit man is communing. How's he do that? How's that spirit man commune with God? How do you allow him to do his thing while you're doing something else? The Bible tells us that we're three different things, right? Spirit, soul, and body. So we already got a split personality. We're three different, these things are all doing whatever they do all at once. But our mindfulness of that helps keep our focus. Amen? Help keep us on the right track with him. So we can pray and pray in the spirit and pray out loud, but we can pray also in our heart, and we do that a lot. We can also be praying while we're talking with others. The Holy Spirit has come that he might make us witnesses unto the world. And our life is that witness. Our life is how that witness is presented out to those around us. And how we live that life, they see. If you call yourself a Christian, then you better believe that God has somebody focusing on you. They're not just focusing on you because they think, you know, they want to be mean to you, or they want to just, you know, I'm going to be watching her because blah, blah. They're focusing on you because you are the witness. You call yourself a Christian, and so there are eyes on you, directed by God. He said, look at my children and how they fare and how they live. And people do that. And, you know, some of you have testimonies of that, seeing others walk out their faith in God and therefore giving you a purpose or some energy or encouragement to come forward to accept him. So we know that that happens and that we can do that. But we all know, I'm going back to this, that it all takes a change in us. We can't remain the same. We can't remain the same. We change every day. We change. It is God's hope that you and I are focusing on him to change. Because we all know we're not where we're supposed to be, or where we hope to be. We all can grow more and experience more of God so that others may experience others, and we can share his glory with all those around us. So I come to pray here at the church. You guys know I do that, and I do that because I want to be obedient to God. I don't come because Pastor asked me to come. I didn't come because there was some kind of, call for that. I came because I was praying, and the Spirit of God said, Curtis, this is what you need to do. And so I'm doing that. And I'm praying that all of you are doing the same, that you are listening to God, and God is saying to you, hey, Barbara, this is what I want you to do. And you are being obedient and doing that. He's already said something to Linda. Stand up, Linda. Stand up. Sonjon de Shobrosta Bakaradasha Onzo, Banzojis of Boborasta da Baka Asian. Don zombrosto bazu borestage jo voroho shunda ma atasa kum. Idiz bonele la baharesho. I ombrosto cobraba da sataraba bonzo zobovre. Izi de la bahai konso. My dear child, don't become weary in well doing. For I have truly called you to this work. You have heard my voice, you have stood your ground. You are in the way that I have chosen for you. There are many, many blessings onward for you. There are many, many coming, but you are standing in the place where I've called you. Oh, don't let go of the thing that I've said. Be diligent. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Do all that I've said. All that I placed in your heart, even more that you have seen, do. The Spirit of God says to you, hallelujah. I believe that's for all of us. You may say it. I believe that's for all of us. Because God is sharing some things with us, and some of you are sitting on it. You're sitting on it, and you don't want to do it. Why? Because it's not glamorous. Nobody's going to see me. That's why I'm not going to do it. All the pastors, they didn't say I could do that. Now, there are some things that they have authority over in the sanctuary here in this church that you're going to have to get their permission to do. But there's a lot of things you don't. A lot of things God said to you. You know, but if he said them to you, guess what? If you go to them and you speak the heart of God, what pastor would not welcome what God wants to do? We all need to be changing, becoming more like Jesus. It is this morning, the Spirit of the Word of God that's come to me is about change, but it's about us changing. When you look at your life, you should see yourself changing, not being the same old person. Week to week, you should be changing. Some of us don't recognize it. It takes longer, so maybe month to month. Or maybe longer for others, maybe year to year. Some of us is daily, because we're what? We're getting into the power of the Word of God. We're dedicating and meditating ourselves on this Word. And the Word of God changes us. Changes us internally. Makes us different. Different how? Well, in one place it says if you pray in the Holy Spirit, it'll improve your life. It'll make you better. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You said, build myself? Why do I need to be built up? Because there's all kinds of spirits and principalities and powers and high places that don't want you to. My wife got a word from the Lord about all the clouds that cover us. You know, you feel like you're under a cloud of discouragement or a cloud of I don't know, debt or a cloud of depression or whatever the cloud is. You're under. She said, but the Spirit of God lifts you up above the clouds. How would you like to soar above all your stuff? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that just gave me a kick. I was like, woo. Come on, Spirit of God. Come on, God. Come on, Jesus. Take me up higher. Above all that. Let me soar where you are. And let me look down on all this turmoil that's happening. I think that was when she was praying about Dorian, the big tornado that came out. And she was like, why do we always want to do something crazy? Why don't we just want to soar above? Be the people that God wants us to be. And because he told us we could be. I'm not painting a picture here of, okay, Curtis said that this is what we're supposed to do, and so I'm going to follow after what Curtis said, but I'm going to write that down. I pray and hope that what I'm saying is what Jesus wants us to be like. It's in the Word of God, what he wants. And I've been over and over again, I've been catching a hold of the vision that he wants for us. And he's been sharing some things with me that I have been hesitant to share with anybody because I think y'all think I'm crazy. You know, sometimes you hear things from the Spirit of God and then you see them in the Word of God and you go, oh, my Jesus, you want me to go there? You want me to go there? Do that? Yes. Because he is able to do all things. Now that's the thing. Anything that he's told you to do, he can do. I don't care what it is, because he is God. He has authority over all things. He gave them things to Jesus, and Jesus gave them things to us as his servants, as those who are called by his name, as those who walk after him. But we've got to what? We got to focus. Focus on him, and we have to be desiring to be more like him. We have to change. We have to change. I want that to be embedded into you, that I'm changing. Go ahead, say that out loud for me. I am changing. Come on, one more time. I am changing into God, into the Spirit of God, into Jesus. He made it so that I could do that. There's always my heart is always so full of stuff. You say, what is this stuff? This is the stuff that I'm giving you. It's so full of this. So I want to give that out before I can get to what he wants me to actually say to you through the word. But I have to get it out because it's all in there. Amen? And that one thing keeps changing. When there is a changing of the guard, when there is a new boss, new CEO, or even a new boss in your department that comes, what mostly happens is they come in with a new plan and regime, and a lot of people depart. Some of them willingly, some not so willingly, right? Because that new changing of the guard puts in his lieutenants and his sergeants and so forth, and they then begin to do the work that he has set or that has been set upon him. We have had such a change, and I want you to recognize that that's what's happening. A changing of the guard has come. Our pastor is a new CEO, let's say, and things have to change. Things are changing. Sometimes we don't want things to change, but they have to change. Why do they change? It is not Eric, Britt, they like things that go the way they are. Let's just go this way. Yo, everybody, come on. But the Spirit of God does those things for a reason. You and I need to recognize that. What is it? What is my part in this change, this new guard that has been set forth? What is that I must connect to? What is it? God, what are you saying to me? How am I fitting in to this new direction that's come about? Our church, I'm going to say our, because I believe I am a part of this church. Our church is experiencing a cultural upheaval. So a culture of a place, right? The people are in certain traditions. They're doing certain things. They used to go around this line, do these paths, follow off of these things, you know, because they are all used to doing that. This church has 20, I don't know how long, Julie, 27, 30-something years. 37 years of a certain culture that we've all kind of joined ourselves to. But then there came a changing of the guard, and a lot of us missed it. We didn't think about, what's God doing new? Because there was a new man of God set before us, and it shook up some folks. Look around you, shook up some folks. And we didn't grasp what the Spirit of God wanted to do. But he has a remnant of people who are settling into this new culture. And so what I want to speak to you today is for you to notice this change. Now, you could say, well, I don't care about that. I'm just going to do whatever. Follow after my old traditions. And some of you have said that, I know. I hear your thoughts. But the Spirit of God is not, he's not shaming you. He's not saying, well, you better stop doing that. He loves us. He is so loving of all of us, and his desire is to encourage you. Come on, get on board with what I'm doing. Rest in what I'm saying. Come along with me. Come on. I said all of that to say this. The growth of our body, you want more people in these seats, depends on us changing with the Spirit of God. Doing that which God has said for you to do. That's what we all need to be obedient to. Because when that witness of the body is perceived, people are going to want to come to see what's going on at Triad Stone Christian Center. Per the binoculars that God has directed them. Why? Because God is in charge of growth. He added to the body in Acts as he saw fit. It's not as we see fit. It's not as the pastors see fit. It is as God sees fit. And if God is seeing fit, then it's up to us to make sure that we are going with the change that God has placed in us. That means whatever that word is, whatever he's told us to do, that's what we're supposed to do. That's the change. And it could be simple. You know, mine is right now, I'm praying, coming up here at the church. I'm praying. You can join me if you like. I come after work Monday, Tuesdays, Thursday, Fridays. Wednesday, we have corporate prayer. So you can come and pray with us when we pray corporately. Sometimes on Saturday, Sunday, so as God leads me. But most of the time, those nights. But just praying. You can come pray. If the door is locked, just pray on the steps. Whatever. What you do, what God is telling you to do, that change. We need to do that. Think about that. Think about that. Just think about that purpose right there. I'm going to follow after what God's telling me to do. It's my part. We're going to all join in to do that. We're going to lock arms, and we're going to all be doing our part that God has told us to do. And because of that bright light, you can say, well, it's God's light that shines into people, not our light. It's his light. I don't want anybody to come through that door and say, all right, here I came here for Curtis. Because, you know, Curtis is a man. And I get stuff wrong. You can follow me. I can follow that chair. You know, I can say stuff stupid. You don't need to follow me. You need to follow Jesus. You need to see his light, his love. You need to see him. And if you see him in me, then follow the him that's in me. But don't follow Curtis. Follow the Jesus that's in us, right? That's what you want other people to do. And that's what God wants to happen too. God said he's not going to share his glory with anybody. So anything that takes place has got to be him, right? Oh, right. How long am I supposed to preach? I forget this every time. What time we get out usually? Somebody tell me. Okay, all right, so I got a little longer. You guys just don't know how much God appreciates and loves you. He does. He does. You just don't know. And he's yearning and hoping, and we're all yearning and hoping that we're all on that path that God has told us to be on. Amen? Change. 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 So what kind of path is it? Uh-oh. Did I do that? What kind of path is it? Is it on? So when I come out to pray, there are some, you know, there are prayers that Paul prayed in his letters. And I just take those prayers and I pray them over us. And one of them is in Philippians. If you want to turn there, Philippians 3:8. Thank you, Father. You'll speak through us. You use everything that we are and have to speak to your people. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Philippians 3:8 says, let me read it out of the King James. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, hallelujah, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And you say, you pray that? Yes, I pray that over us, over myself. I pray that I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Think about that. This is how Paul is perceiving how we should be thinking. Right? Priceless privilege to know God, to know Jesus. And we have him readily available to us. It's priceless. Priceless. You can't pay for what we have and what he's given us. Can't pay for it. Overwhelming peace and joy. Can't pay for it. It's priceless. It's a privilege he's given us. Amen? The overwhelming preciousness, if we think it's easy, Paul thought some stuff about this. He thought some about this life in Christ and this relationship that he has with God. Overwhelming preciousness, surpassing worth, supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. So Paul's meditated on his life with God and his relationship he has with Jesus Christ. And look how he explains it. He wants it to be progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. So to me, all that says is Paul saying, Jesus, I want to change. I want to change. I want my life to be intimately connected to you so that when I take and walk, wherever I take myself and walk, that people see that I'm exuding this life of God. They might not say, well, Doug, what's up with you? Why do you seem to be so peaceful? They might not say that. They just might like to be around you. They just might like to talk to you. I think that, forgive me if you think I talk about my wife too much, but I know more about her than I know about you guys. On her job, people seek her out. Listen to me. They seek her out because they need a hug. They follow her. When they're down and depressed and they need something, they go to her desk and they say, "Can I have a hug?" Why is that? Something very simple, but why is that? She must be walking somewhere where they want to be. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from her? It's got to be coming from Jesus. Who can do that? But how is she doing it? What makes her so special? I'm at work, they don't seek me out for a hug. What's wrong with me? My mug don't look like I'm huggable. It is because, this is what I know, she is progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. She reads her word every night, even sometimes in the morning. She prays every day. I live with her, I know. So you said I should do that? I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying you should do whatever God says for you to do. But I know what she does, and I know that it has come to a place of witness for her, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. And I pray that over us, that we do that, that that happens for us. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win and gain Christ the Anointed One. Now here is our attitude. Do you and I consider everything that we have, degrees, skills, knowledge, we all consider that dung for the purpose or for the opportunity we have to know him more? How valuable are those things to me than knowing him? You say, well, how's that? Now, we know the word of God can divide, right, our emotional state and the intents of our heart and our purpose. It can separate all those things, right? The word of God can part them. So you and I need to get to a place where we understand and know and recognize that, no, those things are not more valuable, we consider them more than knowing him. So that when there's a clash between the two, you know which road to take. Do they like Sherry hugging people on her job? No, they do not. They watch for it. They separate people. They move people on the other side of the building. They don't want her talking to nobody. And you say, why is that? You know why. But does it stop her? Does she say, okay, I can't hug you today, you know, because they're gone. You know, they might write me up today because I got too personal. She's counted that her job is not worth this priceless privilege of knowing Jesus. And all of us have to make those types of decisions in our life because we want to grow and progressively become more like him. Note, if you have succumb to that. The Bible says what? That he is our propitiation for sin, that we can go to him, ask for forgiveness, and he then releases us. We can confess our faults and sins before him, and he is just to forgive us for our sins, right? So if you have done that and you notice that, dog, I put my job above God, well, I can repent and come right back in line with him. just that quick. Father, forgive me. The next time, I will not do that. I will be obedient to what you are saying to me. And you say, well, it's a small thing, but it goes to who you are. It goes to who he made you. You're not standing around proclaiming from the mountaintop, hey, I'm a Christian, and I'm saved, and I have the Spirit of God in me. Yes, hallelujah. If you do that at work, I don't know what might happen. But, but you know, we're not doing that out blatantly like that. But we are carrying, what, this solemnly, this commitment, this joy on our inside, and we are desiring for that to just permeate out from us. We want people to ask us a question. Just ask me about Jesus so I can tell you about how good he is to me. By the way, I'm reading out of the Amplified those same scriptures in Philippians 3:8. So that was Philippians 8, and I'm going to Philippians now. Well, let me finish. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the anointed one. These next verses, when I begin to read them, as I pray these, and I pray these every day. So I pray them every time I pray these scriptures. So, you know, the Lord shows me more and more. And the thing that he showed me in this was that this is how the disciples turned their world upside down. Because they counted their jobs, their fishermen, their livelihood. They counted it all dregs and rubbish to follow after him. They laid it all aside. They laid it all down. Can you imagine, Adriana? You looking up to Jesus said, I'm not working anymore because I'm going after him. I don't care if I don't get paid any money, because he has become my purpose. Now, see, I know that struck a lot of you wrong. But is that not what the disciples did? His life, Paul was saying, because that's what he did. He got on the Damascus Road and God struck him down and then he went away for 3 years. How did he live? It doesn't really say. But just think of that attitude that he wants to say. Now, y'all, I know when you say stuff like that, people go around and say, well, Curtis wants us to just forget our job and go out and do it. No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I see in the scripture, that's what the disciples had done. And they turned their world upside down because they had such a great commitment to Jesus in doing that. And Jesus committed to them because he became everything that they needed. They didn't die because they didn't get paid money. They didn't starve. They didn't have nothing left to do or, you know, didn't have clothes, you know, wear and all that kind of, all the things that we're concerned about. They had all those things. Paul obviously was taken care of back on the backside of that desert where he was. Wow, what a thought. What a thought, y'all. What a thought, right? All right, verse 9. And that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness. So I don't want to have any kind of thing that you can see that I've done. Oh, you know, because I come to pray. I've come to pray. I pray every night. That's right. I'm a praying man. That's what I'm doing. Did y'all hear it like that? That's my own ritualistic obedience to the law. But of course, I'm doing that in God's, I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. But I could get that way, couldn't I? Couldn't I? Couldn't I be like, I'm obedient? That's right. God should bless me because I'm right standing with him. That's the way, that's what happened to Job. Remember Job? I told you that last time. That's what happened to Job. He was doing all those wonderful things, and he went to God and said, hey, I'm doing my, I'm sacrificing, I'm praying for my children, I'm teaching in the synagogue, and yet you're attacking me. What's up? Right, he thought his righteousness, God should have blessed him. And God was looking at him like, who you get to tell what's going on? We can do that. I go to church every Sunday. I sing in the praise and worship team. I usher at the door. I bring the food for the cafe. I'm a good little Christian. Beware. Not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called our own, my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, supposed right standing with God, thus acquired. But possessing that genuine righteousness, look at where the genuine righteousness comes, which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. So the only thing that really makes me right with God is my faith in him. I trust that this is what God wants me to do, so I'm doing that. So is it the doing of the thing, or is it the faith that you're doing it? He says it's the faith. I'm trusting and believing that God, this is what God wants me to do, so I'm doing that. Oh, I trust and believe that God wants me to usher at the door, so that's why I'm doing that. I trust and believe that God wants me to sing in the praise and worship, so that's why I'm doing it. I'm trusting and believing God. It's my faith that I'm doing that. I trust and believe in God that I raise my hands and praise and glorify God. I open my mouth with shouts of praise because of my faith and trust in God. My singing can't heal a hill of beans. But my faith and trust in God, when I praise, God fills it with himself, and all kinds of stuff can happen because God does it. Come on. You understand what I'm saying. All right. Got a few more scriptures, and I'm going to let you go. Verse 10, for my determined purpose is, for my determined purpose. I'm determined that I'm going to have faith in God and trust in him. I'm determined that I'm going to change from day to day. I'm determined that I'm going to pray and read my word and get something different and allow him to move through me. I am determined that I'm not going to be the same, y'all. Are you determined? Is this mine in you? I'm determined that I may know him. 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 All the stuff that we do, that I may know him. I'm ushering at the door that I may know him. I'm singing in praise and worship that I may know him. I come to sit in the church on Sunday mornings and listen to the pastor, priest, that I may know him. I pray every day that I may know him. I read the word of God that I may know him. I witness because that I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him. That I may progressively, there's that word again, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts itself over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. There's a lot in there. That I may know him, that I may progressively become. Progressively means that you're changing small ways every day. Progressive, you're progressing. You're moving forward. It says progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. This is a prayer that Paul is saying about himself. This is in the Word of God that we can take as a promise for ourselves. That God, I want to progressively become more intimately acquainted with you, more deeply and intimately acquainted with you. You think God will let us down and not do that? Recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Come on, y'all. Look what he wants to do for us. And that we may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, the same resurrection that that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what he's talking about, this power that lives in us. It's the same power. Can you imagine this power that creates stuff, that makes stuff out of nothing, that causes people to be healed, that takes a cancer and demoralizes it, crushes it, smashes it out of a person's body, that could take broken bones and fix them back up. This power, right? This power where sickness and diseases have to bow. This power in us. I know some of y'all ought to get mad having the power in you and going through some of the stuff you're going through. You ought to say, wait a minute. This power's in me. Jesus, what is it that I'm not doing? What is it that I should be doing? Where am I? Because this power is in me. It's not far away. It's in me. It's right here. So that was, this is one complete thought here, y'all. May so share his sufferings, may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. So let's talk about sufferings just for a second. I know it's almost time. What kind of sufferings? So the sufferings that we suffer, the Bible tells us that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That's in Hebrews. I don't know right now where it is. I can look it up later. But it says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So our suffering, if we have suffering, now I'm not saying Jesus, God, put those sufferings on you. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying that through those things, he learned how to what? Look to Jesus and be obedient. So we allow our suffering sometimes to take us out of the place where God wants us to be or out of the place where God is directing us. We allow our pain and our suffering to give us another place. I'm going to give a short testimony here before I go. Sherry's mom has fourth stage cancer, cervical cancer. She's been dealing with it for a couple of years now. A few months ago, she just got discouraged and just laid all her faith and stuff, just laid it down. I'm just done. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just through with it and so forth. And I remember she had an encounter with an unbeliever where God used to speak through, put her back on her faith, because she's a warrior for God. She talks about Jesus. She tells everybody. And so some of these people are like, well, you tell us about this God, and now you all down in the dumps and can't take the pain and blah, blah, blah. So she had this coming from an unbeliever. So she snaps back on her faith. And talking with her, she gets back on her faith, and then all of a sudden she goes to the doctor and the cancer disappears. The doctor says, Miss Nancy, today, we're in the nurses, we're going to take you out to lunch. And she's like, why you want to take me out to lunch? And he said, because the lumps is disappeared. And you've been saying it all this time. Now, because she tells him. She take the chemotherapy thing, you know, she's in the chair. She's telling him, God's healing me. Learning obedience through the things that we suffer. Can you? Come on. It hurts me. It pains me. I got to deal with them every day. But I'm still trusting and believing in God with my faith that things are going to work the way he says they're going to work. Come on, y'all. Because I want to be what? More like him. Dog. I read that and I kind of grabbed myself and I was like, dog, man, I have not been doing that. I confess to you. Stuff happens and I go, grab myself. I say, oh, here we go again. And Jesus is like, when have I ever, you know, not done something for you? When have I ever not come through? When have I ever not come through? It's just that our flesh doesn't like it. But our flesh is at enmity against God, right? We know that our flesh is not something that he approves of. And yet we still take that mindset. Instead of taking the one, this is making me more like Jesus. That's when the joy comes. So, got a little pain. You ought to see her now. You ought to see her now. She got her cane. She got her walk. She don't care. You know, she is living on for Jesus. That's how he wants us to be. Come on, y'all. All right, I'm gonna just read this straight through, and then I'm gonna be done. Verse number 11. So this thought is still carrying on, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. Listen to these words. He is saying determined purpose. My one aspiration, right? He's given us all these words where our focus should be strong in is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. And then this is where I was headed with my growth message. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. One aspiration. Our deep and hold this one aspiration, our determined purpose. That's what I was trying to say. Full grown, have these convictions, and if any respect you have any different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Full grown, spiritual mature, our one aspiration, our determined purpose, that I may know him. These are spiritual mature people. There's another prayer that I pray also, it's over in Colossians, it's 1:8. And it just goes even further into what we just talked about and gives us, okay, this is what I should be doing. And every day I rise up, every day thinking about this. I'm drawing closer to God. I want to know him more. What will you show me today, God? How will you move me to the next place? I know that he desires us to be so. Now, Pastor, I'm supposed to sing a couple of songs at the end of service, but I will do that. But if you need to leave, because it is 11:30, you go right ahead and leave. But let's pray, and we'll end service.